this like 27 by 27 inches. What is even 27 by 27 inches? Who makes 27 inch by 27 inch anything in this world, in America?
I don't know. The Americans do, apparently.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah, and SVHQ and like really, really Silicon Valley style with people sleeping in their office. Now, very surreal.
Exactly, exactly. The whole nine yards. I mean, the whole startup Silicon Valley kind of thing, you know?
And you spend, you know, 4 or 8 or 10 hours on the book reading it or listening to it. And then if you try to explain it to someone else,
good luck.
You get the same as Wikipedia, a 2-minute definition. But it's not what you say. Like it already changed you after those hours of reading. And then we'll do the main topic, and then maybe I'll complain about your misuse of quote marks.
All right. Well, you're supposed to teach me and not complain. Do you want me to start from the beginning or from the recent times? Because...
Yeah, I mean, you can start from the beginning.
So in the beginning...
If there's a story there, yeah.
In the beginning, there was me and there were books, and we didn't really cross paths that often. Let's talk about seeing you again in Warsaw very soon.
Yeah, so it seems like this is a thing now, us being in the same city at the same time on different conferences.
Yeah, it's a repeating pattern, man.
It happened a year ago in March when we were both in London. I was on the Swift Summit, and you were on what was it called?
It was WordCamp, so the WordPress conference.
WordCamp
London.
Right, the WordPress conference. And now we're both coming to Warsaw at pretty much the same time again, and I'll be attending MCE. And you're doing what?
Element Talks. It's a conference for designers, and I'll be speaking there. And Tenosby is a sponsor, actually.
Okay, for designers.
Yeah, for designers. But designers that design things, not just designing nice icons like our VP of Style Hubert, but like people that design things, things, also physical things. You know, I don't know, chairs, clothes,
right.
Different things. But like from different aspects of design, and especially I think the accent is on freelance designers. So on freelancers who do lots of design, you know, jobs for different companies.
Interesting, interesting.
And my job there is to teach them about productivity and help them get more stuff done.
Yeah, and for the last like 2 weeks, I heard on the Scrum meeting every morning Hubert complaining about his further iterations on some swag you'll be giving away or whatever on the conference.
Yeah, that's already done now, so he shouldn't be complaining anymore. He will be complaining about different thing tomorrow. No, the day after the side fight, he'll be complaining about different thing. But we have some swag, and it's going to be actually a first for us. Okay, second for me, but first for the team, to like have a proper stand, you know, proper like a place where people can go to us, talk to us, you know. So not only will I be on Element Talks on Sunday as a speaker, but we will also be throughout the whole conference as a sponsor, as an OSB stand that people can go to us, ask us questions, see the demo of our application, ask us anything. So, you know, everybody who's going to Warsaw for Element Talks, you know, say hi and, you know, say hi to me. Yeah. And to our team.
So we keep saying us. Is there anyone else from the team joining you?
Oh, yes. There will be Natalia. There will be Kuba. So Natalia is she's our customer support girl and my interim assistant. Kuba, our VP of social media. And Marcin, our marketing coordinator. So, and Delfina, our VP of support and VP of affiliate program. So,
right. So pretty much the whole marketing team.
Yeah, pretty much. Mm-hmm. Hubert decided not to join because he lives far away. Now, the good thing is that, you know, these people, all of them, only Marcin and me, we're coming from the distance, but the rest of the team are from Warsaw. So for them, it's really easy to be joining us.
Oh, come on. Martin has a Pendolino train to Warsaw. That's not that bad.
Exactly.
I wouldn't complain if I were him.
And we will be all wearing our blue shirts, you know, with our numbers and with our names on the back and, you know, with our big Nosby logo. So it'll be fun.
Mm. Yeah. So I just realized, and I don't mean to make it sound like a humble brag, but it's been the first time in a long while since I've been on a conference as an attendee and not as a speaker. So this is going to be quite a different experience also, because just, you know, being on a conference as a speaker is a very different experience.
Yeah, but I don't know. For me, whenever I went to a conference as an attendee, I learned a lot more. But then again, I didn't network that much, you know, so it's like a different thing. So why are you going there for the MC thing?
Well, the conference seems really good. Like, everyone loves it. It's like MC is like, you know, mobile development, like development and design and product, you know, business of mobile applications. So it's relevant to me and relevant to my work. But also, like, you know, anyone could make a conference that says that, but there are many speakers and many people that I know that they're going to be there, and like, everyone seems to love it, right? Like, there aren't too many conferences, programming conferences in Poland for which like everyone from everywhere would come in every year.
Right.
And this seems to be one of those. And many people that I haven't seen in a long time, but, you know, I met in your, you know, London or San Francisco back on WWDC 2 years ago, some of them are going to be there.
Nice.
So this is going to be fun.
So like a reunion kind of thing.
I guess you could say that.
So it's happening on Thursday and Friday, right?
Yeah, and tomorrow on noon, I'm leaving home and I'll be going to Warsaw, probably going to be, I mean, there is going to be like a pre-party tomorrow, and going to probably visit, meet up with some friends, and then the proper conference is Thursday and Friday, which I think you're coming on Thursday, so we'll probably see each other then.
Yeah, I'm coming on Thursday morning to Warsaw, and then, and now the best part that we haven't mentioned yet, we are going to relaunch Nosby HQ or something. So the thing is that we will stay in my apartment in Warsaw, that it's actually coincidentally empty now, because we just had people moved out, and I'm looking for new people to move in. But in the meantime, it's empty. And for me, you know, after almost 6 years now, going back to my apartment, it's gonna be kind of surreal. And then having you the first few days, then Marcin, when he comes, he will also stay there. So we also plan to do some maybe informal working on Friday with the rest of the Nosby team who lives in Warsaw in this apartment. So, and also on Monday, a marketing team reunion also in my apartment. So it's going to be, my apartment is going to be Nosby HQ for a few days.
Yeah, Nosby HQ and like really, really Silicon Valley style, with people sleeping in their office. Now, very surreal.
Exactly, exactly. The whole nine yards. I mean, the whole startup Silicon Valley kind of thing, you know?
Okay. All right. This is great. This is great.
We'll have to just buy some proper pizza, you know, like really, you know, trash the place. I mean, just like the real Silicon Valley style.
Wait, do you have like a ping pong table? Maybe this is a requirement.
Oh no, I have to figure this out. No, but we have a pool table, but not in my apartment, but in the you know, in the complex. So like, maybe that counts.
Okay.
All right.
Main topic.
Yep.
So we were going to talk about it for quite a while. So let's do it. Let's talk about books. And I don't know. Tell me, like, what's your relationship with books? What have you been reading recently? Like, what's up?
Yeah, I mean, do you want me to start from the beginning or from the recent times? Because.
Yeah, I mean, you can start from the beginning.
So in the beginning...
If there's a story there, yeah.
In the beginning, there was me and there were books. and we didn't really cross paths that often. That was
still a better love story than Twilight.
Exactly. There was some I'm not that kind of guy. I mean, my wife is that kind of person that she likes to sit with a book, you know, on an armchair, quietly have her, you know, tea next to her and read the book, and this is so poetic and so great, and I love it, and she loves it. I mean, I love watching her doing it, but that's it. But I'm biased. She's my wife. But in my case, I'm not the kind of person. I never enjoyed books. I knew that, you know, I knew reasonably that I should be reading them, and I was reading. I was trying to kind of read them, a few of them, in high school, and I managed to, you know, pass my exams with almost flying colors without reading that many books. So, like, that's a good achievement right there. And I always struggled to read books, actually. And only, you know, now as the NoSB CEO, I people have been, you know, like, telling me all this about the books and how it's important to read the books, and I realized very easily that I'm not really that smart, and that I should be smarter by reading some books. And actually, there was the one book which I started, you know, listening to at that time. I think I was on my trial at Audible. So again, we're starting from the beginning. So I read like 2 books a year. I ordered 5 or 6 books from Amazon, and they were staring at me, you know, and looking at me like, you know, something, you know, not untouchable. So I realized this is not sustainable. I have to figure something out. And then came the idea of audiobooks. I don't know. I think I read about it somewhere or something. So I got this trial of a first book for free, you know, on Amazon, on Audible. And I got the book for free. I downloaded it and I started listening to it. And I don't know if it was the first book or one of the first books. It was a very, you know, a book that doesn't sound really very appealing. I think it was something about 10 differences between millionaires and middle class, something like this. But it was it has really good reviews, and it was a short book. So I thought, you know, it's a short book, good reviews. It's about millionaires. It might be rubbish, so I'm gonna just, you know, check it out, and I'm just gonna, you know, even if it's short but it's rubbish, I'm just gonna stop listening to it. But right. It was a pretty good book, actually. It wasn't that, you know, cheesy.
Was it called Millionaire Next Door?
No, that's another book. That's another thing. But it was 10 differences between millionaires and middle class, something like that. It was about the mindset, right? And one of the differences between millionaires and middle class was the fact that millionaires read books. And really,
very meta.
Yeah, really meta. I mean, the guy said, you know, in the book, he said, you know, why millionaires have big libraries? Because they read the freaking books. You know, they don't have the libraries, you know, to show off. They have the libraries to actually read these books. And then I thought, you know, hey, maybe if I want to be successful, I should be reading some books, right?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, it's funny when, you know, when I think about it, but really this sentence made so much impact on me, you know. This sentence in this cheesy book told me, you know, I should read more books. And I just kept, you know, doing the Audible thing, you know, every month, every new credit, new book. And then I realized with Audible, I'm listening to books, you know. I'm doing more than 2 books a year. So that was the beginning.
Right. It's interesting how close this is to my experiences. Because I'm same. I've never been good at reading books, like, you know, from paper. It just, like, I don't know why. It just it wasn't instantly naturally appealing to me. I always found it very tiring and hard to focus, really. And I think school had a big impact.
Oh yeah.
A negative impact on my book reading, because in school you have to read a bunch of really old, really boring fiction for the literature class, and I had no interest in that. I didn't care. I read some of those in primary school, and then in middle and high school I read approximately zero of those, and just, like, you know, barely managed to survive there. But I just, like, such a waste of time, right? I don't care about that. I don't care about reading fiction, because it's not for me, right? Like, the real world is too interesting to read about, to read fiction, and for entertainment, I like, there are better for me media of entertainment, right?
Exactly.
But still, even though there are so many books from which I could learn new stuff about the world, stuff about whatever that's interesting, I appreciated that in theory, but still, I had a hard time for a very long time to actually read more than, as you say, two or four books a year. It's just like very hard to get to reading one, and then, you know, fairly hard to get through books usually. And then I've been reading more and more over the years, but still no more than maybe, you know, six, eight books a year. And then I discovered a year ago, Audible. I mean, I didn't discover it. I knew about it, but I just never thought about it. You know, it never really crossed my mind that this is a real viable thing I could and should be doing. But at some point I realized that, hey, I should probably try Audible. And like, I knew that you love it, so I signed up. And the effect was pretty remarkable, because last year, after signing up, I read some, I don't remember now, but something like between 15 and 19 books, I think.
Yeah.
Which is a lot for me. And that really reaffirmed my belief that I should read more, because I just saw how much I got out of it, how many insights I got out of it, how much knowledge I gained, right? How much, it made me smarter, really, right?
Yeah, and somebody wrote somewhere that when you read a book, I mean, when you, the Audible, when you listen to a book, what happens is that you get twice. I mean, it's like you live double life, because you can do something else while you're reading the book. So, like in my case, it for example helped me with my sport habit to go out and run, because I knew that if I go. If I go to have a run, I'm going to listen to a book. So I'm gonna to right. really, it's gonna be my actually reading time, you know. So in this way, right. My body gets something, my mind gets something, and it's gonna be awesome. So all at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. And and again, same experience here. I just saw this amazing sort of positive cycle that. Because I wanted to listen to my books, I would get out for a walk or for a run or for a bike ride, or more recently go to the gym, and vice versa, right?
Exactly.
Because I wanted to go for a walk or for a run, I also got to read the book. So both things propelled each other and sort of both work very well together, right? Because I read more, I'm more physically active, and because I'm more physically active, I read more.
Yeah.
And so again, for all the talk about how terrible and inefficient multitasking is, this is a sort of multitasking that does work, because it's like completely different, like brain channels. Like you don't need to focus to run. Like your body has a routine hard-coded for running, right? So you can run and listen to a book and really get both done.
Yeah, unless you have, like, you know, a strict, you know, training thing, and you want to just train for some kind of race or whatever. But usually, I mean, us, you know, amateurs, we run to get some endorphins and to change the to be just fit. So for us, it's just perfect. It's just perfect.
Yeah, and speaking of fit, if I didn't learn about audiobooks, if I didn't get into habit of reading quite regularly, and like, let's face it, 15 books a year is not really much, but it's way more than an average person, right?
Exactly.
But if I didn't already do that, if I only read, you know, 4 books a year, then it's very unlikely that I would stumble across and pick and read Why We Get Fat, which is a book that really helped me stop it being fat, right?
Exactly.
And so this is amazing, because like this this is like a real world, very tangible benefit from the investment of reading books, right? That's very obvious for me. And there are a lot of benefits that are less tangible, but I just know, like, wow, I got something out of it, right?
Yeah, and for me, for example, additional benefit for that was not just, you know, being fit and running and everything, but also I'm a slow reader. I have learned how to touch type,
right?
And I know how many benefits I get from being able to touch type and to type really fast. And I'm still not a very fast typist, but still, you know, thanks to touch typing, I write, you know, three times faster than I used to. But I never got around to actually learning speed reading, you know. And I just read as I read, you know, as they taught me in school, which is not really fast. And it was, for a person who's fast, like me, you know, in speaking, I hope you realize that listening to this podcast, I was frustrated, actually, that I couldn't read faster the books, you know? I was, like, with a physical book, I would read really slowly. And now, with audiobooks, I put them, you know, at twice the speed, and I'm fine, and I'm listening fast.
Wait, you listen to Audible at 2x?
Depending on the book, depending on the narrator, it's between 1.5x and 2x, yes.
Wow, that's pretty crazy. I generally listen at 1x, sometimes and at 1.25. But definitely not two.
You should try it, because at first it sounds really bad, but really, at least this is my experience. I get used to it very quickly, and then when I slow down, I'm like, ooh, that's very bad. So really quickly, I get used to the speeds, and I have several narrators who are, for me, the default is 2x, but for some, I need to go to 1.5x, because they do already a good job reading pretty fast.
Well, I don't know. You might be right, but I'm kind of skeptical about it. I feel like I read something about speed reading, that it's like yeah, you're faster, but this is at a significant expense at actually comprehension, right?
Well, I heard the opposite. I heard that the speed readers actually have better comprehension than we slow readers. I don't know.
Yeah, I kind of doubt that. Do you sub-vocalize?
Yeah.
Okay. That's interesting.
Do you?
No.
I don't know any other way.
Yeah, I know that some people are like that. But, you know, I learned about it because CGP Grey talked about this on some podcast of his. Before I didn't realize people do that. But yeah, I mean, if you sub-vocalize... that explains why you're a slow reader. Because it's hard to you're a fast talker, so you're probably a fast sub-vocalizer.
Still.
But it's still, yeah, it's still not as fast as just reading, you know, without sub-vocalization.
And another benefit of audiobooks is the fact that very often, which is sometimes good, sometimes bad, depending, but usually good, is that very often authors themselves read the books. And
yeah.
When they are good narrators and they are the authors, you can feel that they understand the matter better, and that they are more into this, and the book just sounds more authentic. And I feel so privileged, you know, the author himself is reading to me, you know? I like it.
Softly whispering to your ears.
Yeah, but it's great, you know? It's for me, it's an added benefit.
Yeah, it really depends. I really enjoyed listening to, say, Malcolm Gladwell's books narrated by himself, but I don't know. One book I read recently was Good to Great. I think the author's name is Jim Collins,
yeah.
And he narrated it, and I don't know, you know, like he was very enthusiastic because like he understood the book, so that helped, but I just didn't think he was a very great narrator, so I would probably enjoy the book more if it was narrated by someone else.
Yeah, like Yeah. The other also a situation is when the narrator is not a native speaker. Like, for example, I would be a very bad narrator of my own book. So I would really totally recommend hiring a narrator for my book, right? So so people who are not natives, sometimes they are still trying to be narrators, and it's great, it's authentic. But on the other hand, it's a little bit, you know, spoils the thing. But usually, you know, for example, Seth Godin is a fantastic narrator. I really love listening to his books.
Yeah, I haven't listened to any of his books, but I've heard him, you know, speaking on like conferences or whatever, and he, like, I would definitely love to listen to a Seth Godin's book narrated by Seth Godin. That would definitely be very enjoyable.
Yeah, for example, The Linchpin. Linchpin is fantastically done by him. It's a great book, and he's reading it, so it's really cool.
Yeah, I have to reread that sometime. I loved it so much. Well, anyway. So I have an update as for my goal for this year, because you know, seeing how valuable reading is to me, and how hard it's always been for me to read a lot, and how much Audible helped, I decided in January that this year I'll read somewhere between 26 and 30 books. Which is a fairly big number, but it's actually not that impressive, because it translates to 14 or 12 days per book, which is, you know, it's a fairly good chunk of time for a book. So anyway, I've not been doing good in March, because I've been reading this book called Your Brain at Work, and it's been an enjoyable book. But a difficult book, a book that really required me to have really a lot of focus into the book to actually get a lot out of it. And it's a kind of book you have to sort of study. Like, if I just went through it, it would be interesting, but I wouldn't remember and get out of it much. There are just too many separate ideas. And so I had to really stop after every chapter to take notes, which is not something I do with every book, and certainly not like that. But with this book, I really had to get a lot out of it. But this meant, plus also travel, this didn't help with listening with a lot of focus. So it took me a month to get through this book, which is not good. But thankfully, after that, I just picked two books which were fairly short and fairly easy to go through. And just yesterday, sort of separate from my normal books, I finished this programming book called Functional Programming in Swift, which brings the total of books I started and finished this year to 9.
Nice.
And with 256 days left in the year and 17 books, I have 15 days per book throughout the rest of the year, which is ahead of schedule.
Right.
And for the goal of 30 books, I have 13.5 days per book, which is also great.
Nice. So really good.
Yeah. Yeah.
On my end, I'm not that, you know, particular right now about my goal of reading books. I keep reading them. And as I mentioned in previous shows, I usually listen to books when I'm running and listen to podcasts when I'm on my bike. With my books, I just keep moving with them. And what was surprising, of course, if there is a really good book, I'm just glued to it like crazy. So, like,
yeah,
the recently, you know, mentioned Martian was just fantastic, and it's been a pleasure listening to it, and I actually would want to do it again. It was so good. And I'm actually going to buy the freaking movie and watch it again, because now after reading the book, I want to see the movie again. So for me, I don't have any big target here, but I keep reading. So what happened? So continuing my story, what happened after a few months of having one credit of Audible per month, I decided, you know, it wasn't enough. You know, one per month, you know, what is this? So I started, you know, getting more credits. You know, like, there was an offer of you to buy 5 credits for like some less or something like that. So I started.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous, because I always keep seeing this special offer, buy free credits, and you can buy them for like 33 or 35 bucks, which is good, right?
Yeah.
But then like every time it's like special limited time offer. But every time I get to like one credit, it shows up. So the it's a lie.
Yeah.
But it's a great lie. I love this lie.
It's a marketing, you know, thing. So but what happened was that. And then when I gained momentum, I just, you know, right now I'm just buying this this, you know, premium whatever thing for a year up front. So I'm paying mm-hmm. for 30 credits for a year.
Wow.
And because I'm sharing my Audible library with my wife, she doesn't listen all that much to only a few books and fiction usually. But with that, I'm fine, you know. I'm easily listening to 20 books a year. I think I get to almost 30 with my wife's help, you know, no problem. We always for the last 3 years, I've always reached the point that before renewing my subscription, I was already almost out of credits. So that's right. That's basically my, you know, my target. So really easy, and I really like their business model because it works for me.
Yeah, so 20 to 30 books a year, that's really great. That's really good, especially that you've been doing it for quite a while, I think, right?
Yeah.
How many years are you on Audible?
I don't know, 4.
Right, that's a lot of books in total.
Right.
I have a lot of books to catch up with, right?
Yeah, you're a younger man, so just don't worry.
No, I know, and I'm not worried, but yeah, it's like there are a lot of low hanging fruit in my book reading. You know, books that a lot of people know and that are obviously great. But I just never got to them, right? So there's that.
Yeah, totally. I mean, and so one of the examples, for example, again going back to our story, was the fact that I bought on Audible on Amazon, one of the first books, physical books I bought, was Famous Crossing the Chasm. By mm-hmm. Jeffrey Moore, and because everybody praised this book, it's so important, you know, it's so important, you have to get the book. And I got the book, and I took it with me on every trip that I went to, deciding on this trip I'm going to finish this book. On this trip, this is going to be the one. I'm going to have time. I'm going to be on vacation. I'm going to have time and read this freaking book. And I think I reached like the page 30 or something like that. You know, so really not really great. And then I just bought the audio version. I just listened to it and it was fine. You know, I just gave up on reading the physical book at all.
You know, before I had my iPad, I would take a book or two pretty much on every trip, also thinking, you know, maybe if it's boring or whatever, I'll just have spare time, I'll read some. And I can't recall a single time that I would actually do that. and yeah, it's with Audible, it's amazing because the barrier is so low, and also I love their business model also, because you get a book every month, and like, what, you're not going to use it? Like, you have a book every month, so you're just going to read at least a book a month. And yeah, that's not enough for me either, but hey, that's still 12 books a year, which is already, I'm sure, way above average. Like, how much an average person reads? Not a lot, and nope. Especially not nonfiction, right?
I mean, just think about it. I was reading 2 books a year, so like, it's already 6 times better, right?
Right, right. And you're no average person, man.
Yeah, but I'm just right now scrolling through my Audible, and you're right. I've read lots of books. I mean, I'm right now realizing that like, they're just scrolling down and scrolling down.
Do you have a counter?
A counter? I don't see a counter here. I would have to just see, but it's a long list. I don't know. Wait a second.
Wait, I'm looking at my library.
No, there's no counter here.
At the top, library, and in parentheses, there's a number.
How many do you have there?
26.
Nice.
So what I realized is that reading lots of books is great, not just because you get to read a lot of individual books, but because the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. I just noticed how oftentimes books kind of relate to each other. Like, sometimes they expand on the same topic, and sometimes they're contradictory. but you wouldn't know there's a contradiction until you read both, right? You wouldn't see nuance until if you only read one, right? And so I saw it a number of times. For example, I don't think I mentioned it before, but I read this book called The Healthy Programmer, which talked about fitness, nutrition, diet, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And it said a thing about nutrition that is contradictory, just the exact opposite of what I learned from why we get fat.
Okay.
And this is great, because this is where, like, this is frustrating, but this is also where a lot of learning happens. Because on one hand, if I didn't read both, if I wasn't compelled by both, I wouldn't see that there might be a controversy there, right? I wouldn't be able to question why we get fat, if I didn't already read something that I thought was compelling and well researched,
yeah,
right, before, that said a different thing. And on the other hand, like, I wouldn't question what I read in Healthy Programmer if I didn't then read this other book, right? Or like it was interesting. I'm reading this book called Zero to One,
yeah,
by Peter Thiel, right? And there was a mention of a thing, it wasn't the main topic, but the author challenged some ideas from Malcolm Gladwell's Outliers, which is a book I really enjoyed.
Yeah.
And challenged ideas from Lean Startup, which is a book that, you know, I'm not crazy about, but I read before. Right?
Yes.
And again, this is interesting, because it could be that one or the other is right, and having the arguments of both lets me decide, mm-hmm, which side I believe more, or which side seems right or makes a more compelling argument. Or it could be that one side is partly right, or that there is some nuance that I wouldn't get out of Outliers if Zero to One wouldn't point out some ambiguity, right? Or if I didn't read Outliers, I would just, you know, read Zero to One and see, oh, Outliers is a book I won't read because the author says it's no good, right?
Right.
And because I read Outliers, I can see, no, I don't think you're getting it, Peter Thiel. I think you might be partially right, but there's nuance there, right?
Exactly.
But I only gained this nuance because I read both books, because I read a lot more books than before.
Yeah, and the other thing is also that, I mean, I'm sure you've noticed that as well, that in a number of books, they quote the same stories, like the same examples.
This is so...
Yeah, so like, first of all, then these stories just are, you know, embedded in your brain now, like after all these books. This is the first thing. But second thing, they build up on each other. So not only, like, as you say, the nuance and thing, but also they build up on each other. And they get a different kind of...
take.
Yeah, thing from the same story. And what happens is that also, like, I can see that, you know, that your brain sometimes, and I mean you, sometimes your mind is not always ready for an advice, for a piece of advice.
Mm.
But once, mm-hmm, you read one book and then the second and then the third, then suddenly something that was already mentioned in the first book comes to, you know, like, starts making sense and becomes, you know, the thing that you learned after only reading the third one, you know? It takes time, because your mind wasn't ready, wasn't prepared, you know, for this kind of, you know, conclusions, you know?
I totally see that in myself. And I remember this post by Jason Fried. We'll link to it. And there's an insight from, I think, Clay Christensen, where he said something like, questions are like receptors in your brain to which answers fit.
Yeah.
The idea being, if you don't ask questions, the answers have nowhere to go. So they just bounce off your brain and disappear, right?
Right.
You can't try to tell someone something, teach them, give them advice, if they weren't asking for an answer, if they never asked a question, if they never had a problem looking for a solution, right? And like, it doesn't mean that you should never give someone advice when you know that they need it. But the reality of it is that if you're not prepared to get an answer, then you might not notice that it's there.
Yeah.
You didn't know that you need it, right? And so I totally see it in myself all the time that I, as you said, I hear the same story another time, but maybe only on the third time I get it. Or maybe on the third time it comes at just the right place in my life where I have the context, where I see where this is an idea that fits in my brain, right?
Yeah, and that's why, for example, like people say sometimes, I heard that several times, they would say, you know, don't watch the same movie twice. I mean, why would you do that? You know, just do something else. I mean, don't be boring, right? But on the other hand, I like getting back to books that I really enjoyed a few years ago, because just like with the, you know, with Essentialism, you know, I read it once, and then after a year I read it again, and I got more out of it because I was more ready, you know, for the advice mm-hmm. that was there. So one of the things that, you know, having this big library right now of Audible is the thing that sometimes I'm just out of entertainment, but also out of the idea that I've grown. You know, since the last time I read this book, I want to read it again. I want to see if I don't get something else, you know, out of it. And very often I do.
That you didn't notice before.
Exactly. Exactly. And very often I do. And this is really, this is also an amazing thing.
Yeah, I rarely get that with movies, but I, though there are very few books that I read more than once, I can totally see what you mean. If you read a thing a few years later when you're much, you know, smarter, this much, you know, wealthier in knowledge after all these other books, you'll get something else out of it or nothing at all. Like, I remember when I tried to reread Rework.
Yeah.
After some time, I was like almost bored by it because everything from the book seemed obvious.
Right.
But it doesn't mean that the book is bad. It's like the book was amazing for me because it came in the right place, right time in my life when I needed it.
Exactly.
And I learned so much from it. It pushed me in a different direction. I gained so much out of it that now all it then tried and succeeded in convincing me of seems obvious.
Yeah. Now you're like, yeah, same old, I know this stuff.
Yeah, like, duh.
Duh, exactly. Right.
And another thing that I notice with myself and with others is that you can try to explain an idea or have read of an idea somewhere, but it's not the same as actually reading a book on the same idea.
Yeah.
Mm. Right? Like, there are things that you can kind of explain in 2 minutes, but you won't really get it in 2 minutes. You won't remember it. It won't influence you. It won't change you if you read a definition of an idea on Wikipedia or something.
Yeah.
Right? But mm-hmm. then you read a book which explores this idea in many directions and gives you stories and gives you arguments why.
It gives you context.
Gives you context. And you spend, you know, 4 or 8 or 10 hours on the book reading it or listening to it. And then if you try to explain it to someone else,
good luck.
You get the same as Wikipedia, a 2 minute definition. But it's not what you say. Like, it already changed you after those hours of reading, right? Because you get the whole package, you get the context that just missing, right? From a simple definition. And I know, like, one example is I remember trying and failing to explain some ideas that were relevant, things that I learned and internalized from The Power of Habit to my mom, and she wouldn't get it. Like, she would understand, but it would not be the same. Like, I can explain an idea that's like important here,
yeah,
but she doesn't have the same context.
Yeah.
And then through an accident of sorts, she actually read the book. And then she told me, like, oh, like, remember that conversation that we had? Now I get it.
Yeah, now I get it.
Because it's not the same after you actually read the book, right?
Yeah, that's so true. So I had a period when I was, I have to admit that I had a period when I was reading some fiction. So that was mm-hmm. a point in my life. I really enjoyed the fantasy for some reason. So I like the Tolkien and...
that's not something I would have thought of you.
Yeah, and for example, Terry Pratchett. I really loved these books by Terry Pratchett. So, and for example, he was this kind of author. Short, very nice book, you know, about yeah, well, fantasy. Well, but the best part was that he was so funny. He was so freaking mm-hmm. funny in his books. But again, just what you said, because that's why I had this, I have this connection here. You couldn't explain his jokes to anyone, because if you would just say the joke, people would like, yeah, really? Not really funny. But when you read the whole context of the book, you know, the whole story, then this joke, you know, becomes part of something bigger. Then it makes it like 10 right. times, you know, funnier, you know?
Yeah, there's a word for it. It's called a meme.
Yeah, exactly.
Like this is pop culture. Like, it has nothing to do with books. Like, when you watch movies, when you
right.
listen to music, when you get this context, or where you see a pattern of funny images on the internet, that's a meme. Like, you have to get it to get it.
Yeah,
like,
to get
you,
it.
You can't explain it. It won't be funny if you try to explain it, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So what else on the topic? Oh, I know what I wanted to add. Like, before we started, you mentioned a story about someone who didn't really realize that that audiobooks are a viable thing, right?
Right.
And one argument that that she said that I think a lot of, like, that I heard from many people is that, like, I don't know, like, it's hard to focus on listening to a book. Like, I won't get so much out of it. And, like, first of all, again, you have to fit audiobooks in a right context. Okay, like,
yeah.
You can't be working and listening to a book. It just doesn't work. I mean, you can pretend you can multitask, but no, you can't multitask. Trust me. But you can go for a walk. You can go for a run. You can exercise. You can walk or do shopping. You can wash the dishes or do the laundry. You can do a lot of things that are where you do something physically, but that's embedded in your brain that you don't have to think about, and listen to a book, right? You can do that. That works. Second of all, I do notice that at the beginning it was harder. I did have to learn to be focused on a book. With time, it just became easier to suppress internal distractions that would just pop up and, like, I couldn't focus. And the third thing, audiobooks are great because they don't just replace paper or ebooks, but they fit in places where you wouldn't otherwise read a book at all. So if the question is, do I read, you know, 0 or 4 books a year versus 20 or 30 or 12, you know, 90%, even if you miss out, you know, 5 or 10% from the book because you listen to it instead of read it, 90% of something, of a lot, is still much better than 100% of nothing.
Yeah, I mean, the late Zig Ziglar, you know, a very motivational speaker and author of many books, and some of them I read also on Audible, he said that people who commute, it's not us, but, you know, there are people who commute, actually. So people who commute should make their car a university on wheels, you know, listening to audiobooks while they drive. Because driving is a second nature. You don't really have to focus on driving. You can drive and listen to something. And this is this perfect situation that you mentioned, that you wouldn't normally be reading anything, because you have to see the road, actually. You have to look at the road. You don't have to be focused on the road, but you have to just look at the road. And so you can't be looking at the book, reading the book, because then you will, you know, die. So So that's the thing. And he said it, you know, years ago, that people should be doing that. People who commute, they should make it. And this was a perfect argument for my wife. My wife was also very skeptical of audiobooks. I told her my story, you know, baby, I read, you know, 30 books this year. I'm so happy. It was my first year of reading the books. And I was so enthusiastic, just like you now. And I was like, yeah, this is the best. My wife was like, really? Doesn't make any sense. I'm like, for you, you spent an hour, you spent an hour a day in your car. Like, my wife commutes half an hour and half an hour back. I mean, an hour a day. Mm-hmm. So, like, in a week and a half, she has the whole book done, you know? So I told her, you know, 8-hour book, seriously? It's, you know, 8 days and you're done. And this is at 1x speed, huh? So,
yeah.
So I told her that, and she was like, ah, we'll see. And this is when I installed Audible on her iPhone. This is allowed, by the way, to have, I think, up to 2 or 3 devices like this. So
Really? Good to know.
Yes. So I installed the Audible on her device, and I got her a book that she wanted to read. And suddenly, she was like, whoa, this is great. This works perfectly. And now she, you know, she doesn't read all that much on Audible. She still likes, you know, her, you know, romantic way of reading, you know, Kindle books and stuff. But
traditional way of reading on the ebook.
Exactly. Traditional way. Yeah. You know, the old school way on the Kindle.
Yeah.
Right?
Sorry.
So she likes the old school there. And that was the thing, you know. She converted to Audible very very quickly, and now she reads every day. She drives, so it's fantastic, and it's and now I'm saying that she doesn't read. I mean, listen that much to books, because I also right now mixed in some podcasts, you know, to her mix. So I installed, you know, Overcast on her iPhone and showed her some good podcasts, and now she starts listening to the podcast as well. So she really, you know, discovered this world. Although she was like, you know, laughing at me, you know, in the very beginning, you know, but now she appreciates it.